Our first reading this morning will come from the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. We'll be reading from the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, verses 1 through 6, which is found on page 1085 of your pew Bibles. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the fountain of the water of life without payment." And our second reading will come from the Gospel of John, chapter 13 of John's Gospel. We'll be reading from verses 31 through 35, and it is found on page 938 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen for God's word for us. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord. Sometimes I wish that we Christians were a little more unified, a little less divided, a little more loving in the way that we relate to one another. When I was in seminary, I used to work as a front-end clerk at a beautiful resort in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Had the opportunity to meet a lot of interesting people there. But one evening while I was at work, a familiar figure came through. It was Senator John Ashcroft, who would go on to become the Attorney General of the United States in the George W. Bush administration. But he came to check himself into a room there at the resort, and I recognized him immediately because he was not only the senator from my home state of Missouri, but he was also from my hometown, and had even taught some classes at Missouri State University where I went to school, and so I recognized him immediately. It's not every day that you get an opportunity to chat it up with the United States senator, especially one who is your homeboy, and so I asked him what he was doing there in Georgia, and he told me that he had come to speak at Rehoboth Baptist Church, which was a large Baptist church there in the area, had a reputation for being somewhat conservative, but he was there to speak at Rehoboth. He then asked me what I was doing there in Georgia, and I told him proudly that I was attending seminary. And he seemed genuinely pleased by that, asked me what seminary I was attending, and I responded, Columbia Seminary, again with a measure of pride. But before I could say anything else, one of the people who was with him, someone who I assumed was associated with Rehoboth Church, offered in a snide and contemptuous tone, that's a Presbyterian USA seminary. Well, I thought, we're all working for the same person. We're all working for the same God. We might have our denominational differences, but we are still one. We're still followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the senator didn't approve of my denominational affiliation, he was gracious enough not to say, but it was clear to me that in the mind of that gentleman that spoke up, I was the enemy because I belonged to the wrong denomination. We Christians are like that sometimes. We fight among ourselves, and we fail to appreciate that we are all one in Christ. There was a little song we used to sing in camp when I was a boy. It was written by Peter Schultes, a Catholic priest. The name of the song was that they will know that we are Christians by our love. We will walk together, we will walk side by side, we will walk hand in hand, and together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. They will know that we are Christians by our love. But unfortunately, we Christians are not always known for being loving. I was watching on the internet earlier this week. Someone took to the streets of New York City to ask people to respond in what one word, the first thing that came to their minds when they heard the word Christian. And while some people responded with words of compassionate and loving, by and large, the vast majority of people responded with negative words. Words like judgmental, fighting, argumentative, hypocritical, all negative words. It's a bit unfortunate, of course, because many Christians that I know are good people, good, decent, nice people. But sometimes it's us good, decent, nice people that can get so caught up in what we believe that we fail to keep the most important thing, the most important thing. And the most important thing is that we love one another, that we have love for one another. That's what we are reminded by our text this morning. It begins by saying that when he went out. And the he that's being referred to, of course, is Judas. Judas is one of the disciples. He was one of the 12. He was one of Jesus's inner circle. But now we are told that he has gone out into the night, gone out to betray Jesus to the authorities. It is the event that initiates the whole dark chapter of the Lord's arrest and crucifixion. But it's when Judas goes out that Jesus begins talking about his glorification, which in John's gospel means his crucifixion. But now, like a dying man who gathers his family around him to give them one last charge, Jesus gathers his remaining disciples around him and he gives them a new commandment, something new, something that they are to remember if they do not remember anything else. And we can imagine the disciples leaning in to hear this new thing that Jesus wants to convey to them. What is this new commandment that Jesus wants us to hear? This new commandment that is so important that Jesus has saved it to the very end. And then Jesus tells them, a new commandment I have for you, love one another. Love one another. Perhaps we can imagine the disciples scratching their heads a little bit. That's a wonderful commandment, Jesus, but that doesn't sound like it's new. In fact, the Old Testament is filled with commandments enjoining us to love one another, to love our neighbors, to love our families, to love our spouses, even to love our enemies. So it doesn't sound like a new commandment. But we are to remember that this is Jesus speaking. This is God with us. This is the Word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us who is speaking. And what is new that Jesus is telling us is not only that we should love one another, but he says, love one another as I have loved you. In the same way that I have loved you and cared for you and served you, I want you to love one another. Now, I understand that the word love presents us with a little challenge, in part because we have over-sentimentalized it. When we think of love, we think of feelings. Warm, fuzzy, gooey feelings that we are supposed to have for people. Not that I'm against warm, fuzzy feelings. But love is more than feelings. Love is an action word. It's about action. Love is about doing things. It's about caring for one another, serving one another, encouraging one another. It's about doing. And I know that some of us good Reformed Protestants get a little uneasy whenever we start talking about doing things because it sounds a little bit like works righteousness. But this is Jesus who is speaking. And this is Jesus who says, little children, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. That last phrase, as I have loved you, is terribly important because without it, we tend to define love in any way that pleases us. One of the big problems that we have in our society today is domestic violence, domestic abuse. And I saw on the internet the other day a man who had a history of physically abusing his wife. And when he was confronted about it, he said, yes, but I love her. That's why I do it. I love my wife. Strange kind of love, I think, that would beat someone up. I don't think any of us would want someone to love us like that, but that's what the man said. I love my wife. You don't understand. I love her. I just physically abuse her. I've known people who have cheated on their spouses, men who have cheated on their wives, wives who have cheated on their husbands, despite their profession of love for their spouses. And again, a strange kind of love when you do something that would obviously hurt someone that you purport to care about. And yet that's what people say. Yes, I love them. I love my wife. I love my husband, but I'm just cheating on them. But Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. Sometimes the way we love people has its limits. Oftentimes we love people to a point. We love them until that point that they start being difficult or they start being troublesome. Or we love them to that point where they hurt us or betray us. And at that point, we stop loving them. We throw them away. Whenever people become a little problematic, a little difficult for us, it's easy for us just to throw them away. But Jesus says, love as I have loved you. How does Jesus love us then? How is it that we are loved and cared for by him? Well, remember, Jesus loved us all enough to die for us. He loved us all enough to go to the cross for us. His love was a love that never let any one of us go. Even on that last night when he knew that Judas would betray him. Even on that night when he could look down the road and know that Peter was going to deny him. Even when he knew that all the rest of the disciples were going to desert him. Even when he could look down the line and see that you and I would also betray him and deny him and desert him again and again and again. Even when he could see all of that, he still loved us. He still went to the cross for us. He never let us go. He never threw us away. I'm sure some of the disciples, as they were traveling with Jesus, was pretty difficult. Peter was kind of hard-headed, like to take off in the wrong direction, get in over his head. Thomas was always wanting proof about something. Judas was always a little bit concerned that maybe they weren't on the right path. But Jesus loved all of them. And he loves all of us, despite our difficulties, despite how problematic we are, despite the ways that we've turned our back on him. He has loved us, and he never lets us go. And Jesus says, I want you to continue that love with one another. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Would have been easy for Jesus to just give up on us? Would have been easy for Jesus to say that, you know, you're too difficult. I don't want to be around you anymore. You're just causing me problems. Would be easy for Jesus to have said any of that, but he doesn't. He continues to love us. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. Perhaps you're asking, what difference does it make? Why does Jesus give us that commandment? Well, he tells us to love one another with his kind of love, because that's the way that people will know who we are. That's the way that people will know that we belong to him, is when we love one another in the way that he has loved us. We will not be known, Jesus says, by what we believe. We will not be known by the fact that we have the right doctrine. We will not be known because we're able to profess the right confessional standard. We will not be known as belonging to Him simply because we're able to recite Scripture. Jesus tells us that we will be known as belonging to Him when we love one another the way that He has loved us. That is the way that we will bear witness to who He is. That is the way that people will look at us and say, those are the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, because see how they love one another. I wish on that night, Jesus' last night, that He would have said, one last thing I have for you. One last thing I want you to get. One last thing I want you to remember if you don't remember anything else. And that is, I want to make sure that you read the Bible. Or I have one more doctrine that I want to give you. One more doctrine that I want to make sure that you file away, that you get right. I want to make sure that you believe the right thing. I wish Jesus would have said that. Because we like that. We can fight about those kind of things. We fight about what we believe. We fight among ourselves about that. But that's not what Jesus says on the last night with His disciples. He says, the new commandment that I have for you is to love one another as I have loved you. And that's how people will know that you belong to Me. And when you are fighting with one another, when you make each other your enemies, when you believe that the most important thing is who has the right doctrinal beliefs, who belongs to the right denomination, who's on the right side of the political and theological issues, when you make that the litmus test of who you belong to, then you betray Me. You betray Me. Because what matters is that you love one another as I have loved you. The book of Revelation that we read this morning tells us that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. The whole world was created through Him, and everything will end in Him, which means that the whole world was created in an act of self-giving love, and that is how the world will end. The world will not end with a bang, but it will end in love. It will end in our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we Christians are so frantic and anxious about getting ready for the end of the world, getting hunkered down and ready for the end of the world, making sure that we get ready for the rapture or whatever it is that some people believe it's supposed to happen. We're hunkered down and ready for the end of the world. But the best way to get ready for the end of the world is to do what Jesus told us to do, to love one another. Just as I have loved you. Because love is where everything has come from, and that is where everything is going. And when we start loving one another now, and we love each other the way that Jesus loved us, then we're on our way to that time when God will be all in all, and God's love will permeate all of creation. A new commandment I have for you. Love one another, says Jesus, as I have loved you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your Spirit in our midst, your Spirit of grace, your Spirit of self-giving love. And we ask, Lord, that you help us through the power of your Spirit to love one another truly and to love as you have loved each and every one of us. Help us to be your followers. Help us to be your people. Help us to be the light of the world that you have called us to be, that beloved community that bears witness to who you are, not simply by what we say, not even by what we profess to believe, but by how we love one another as you have loved us. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.